as we prepare our hearts for worship, the second Sunday of Advent, we remember the Prince of Peace, that Christ has come and that he is coming again to fulfill this kingdom that has many characteristics, but one of the characteristics of this kingdom is it is a kingdom of peace, where there is no more warfare, there is no more hatred, there is no more us versus them, but in his presence we are all one. And our hearts long for that peace. And so this morning we pray for peace, we look for peace, and we commit our lives once again to be people who participate in the work of peace in this world. With that in mind, hear these words from Isaiah 11. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father God, this is what our hearts long for. This world where all creatures, great and small, live together as one in harmony and kinship under your good care, under your compassion, and under your love. We thank you, Father God, for Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who has come to this earth to show us the way. And our hearts long for him to return so this way may be all that we know. Today, O God, our hearts lift up those broken pieces of our own lives and our own relationships and those broken places around the globe where people have turned against each other and against your creation. And our hearts yearn for what your heart yearns for, and that is healing and that is peace. So today we find our peace in the Christ who comes and is coming again. And we ask today that you would empower us to be a people of peace in this world that needs your healing touch like never before. Would you be glorified in our worship this morning? Would your heart be pleased, and would our hearts be healed and filled up as we become more and more of the people that you have created and called us to be? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we now turn to your word. Because just as the angel Gabriel came to Mary, we need you to come to us. We need you to call our names and speak to us what is true, what you're doing in us and what you're doing around us. We turn to your word because we need guidance, we need wisdom, we need focus in these days that pull us in so many directions and put so many priorities in our midst, and we just don't know what to choose most of the time. We turn to your word because we believe that you are with us, and that you're a God who speaks to your children. We turn to your word because you are the lover of our souls, and you know what each heart in this place needs. And we trust you to meet us in those places. And so by the help of your Spirit, would you help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, and so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Parents in the room, it's a lot of you. Do you remember what it was like that first moment when you heard that the baby was coming? The doctors show the sonogram, the pregnancy test turned out positive. I don't even know what that looks like. I ask guy, what is it like when a pregnancy test is positive? Is it like a plus? I don't know. I've never seen one. Do you remember what it was like? Some of us that haven't had that experience like me, it doesn't take all that much to imagine what it would be like. That instant when the news comes, a baby is coming. And everything starts to spin, so I've heard. Emotions, all of them, excitement and fear side by side. Plans, who should we call, what should we do? Uncertainty, let's take the test again. Those who have lived in that moment, a question from you for those of us who haven't. When you first heard that a baby was coming to your home, entering your little world, what were the very first things that you realized needed to change and fast? Anybody want to help me out? Bigger house? Sell a house? Hell, yeah? Do we have space for this creature? Anything else? Y'all aren't very helpful to me. Diet. I'll ask Google next time. Diet? Oh, yeah. So what I'm taking into my body, good for this baby? Should I rethink that? Work schedule for some, maybe? Your savings account? Where the electrical outlets are in your home? Your relationship status with the child's other parent? Your habits, your faithfulness, your priorities, a little bit of all of it, right? I mean, that's the thing. When a baby is coming, we're forced to rethink everything and all at once, to reconsider all of our ways, to make room, because a baby is coming into our lives. And as tiny as a baby may be, turns out they take up lots and lots of space. At Advent, we reflect on the real baby who was coming 2,000 years ago. This baby that would change everything. and that would call all of us to rethink everything about who we are and what we do and what our lives are going to be about. At Advent, year after year, we hold hands with Mary and Joseph, and we walk this journey with them as they prepare their hearts and their home for this baby that's coming not just into their world, but this baby that's coming into our worlds too. A baby is coming. And that means it's time to rethink everything. I think of how babies coming have shaken things up and wakened people up and turned priorities belly up since the beginning of time. My older sister, we were opposites back in our teenage years. I was the good little church kid, and she was your typical wild teenager who did everything you can imagine to make my mom crazy. She became an equally wild young adult. She loved to party. She got into lots and lots of trouble. We were worried to death about her. She got married young. She was 20. And she and my equally wild brother-in-law, Micah, they instantly moved to Germany, where he was going to be stationed in the army. That was a good thing. Not 4 months into their marriage, we got the phone call, the news, a baby is coming. Micah was going to be deployed to Kosovo. And so there she was, my 21-year-old sister, totally alone in Germany with this little girl on the way. And I tell you, over those next 9 months, my sister was rethinking everything. She'd moved toward an entire new group of friends. The old ones had no space in this life of being a mom. Those weekends of partying, somehow they just lost their luster overnight. She made the really big decision to rehome their 75-pound Rottweiler, who had bitten at least a dozen people, but they kept saying, "But he's just so cute." When the baby was coming, he was gone. Hard decisions were made. She got that word that a baby is coming, and there was nothing in her life that would ever, ever be the same. Everything was to be considered in light of this news. She would make way in her heart and in her home because a baby was coming. There are a number of couples in my family, some of them who have been married close to 50 years now, who honestly never would have gotten married if they didn't get that message one day. Uh-oh, a baby is coming. And being good Baptist in the South, that only meant one thing: get married. And get married fast, and pray that all your neighbors forget simple math. It's true. A baby is coming. It's time to rethink relationships. Commit or walk away. Either way, just no more of this loosey-goosey, just letting things be. A baby is coming. Make a choice. Make a way for that baby to come. We've all heard the stories of famous actors and successful athletes and coaches and lucrative CEOs who walked away from all the fame and all the fortune because they realized that it had them away from home too much. And a baby was coming. Or a baby was already there, and they realized that baby just needed them more. Called for their heart's affection more. Those babies, they have this way of doing things where they make what was once the most important thing in our lives secondary. Just like that. They make you rethink everything until your heart has enough room, till your home has enough you for that baby to come and be with you. Things get even more intense when the baby that's coming is royalty. We know this because we've all seen The Lion King. It gets crazy. It gets crazy. Don't believe me? Just ask Harry and Meghan. They were doing pretty all right, prince and princess, until they got that word. Little Archie was coming. A baby was coming. Did they want him to be raised with the same pressures and the same media obsession, being critiqued every moment of his life? Would he be treated differently because of his mixed race? Was this royal stuff really best for him? They stepped away from it all. Their very identities tossed aside in a way, all because a baby was coming. And their priority was going to be creating a good home for him. You see, we start to rethink everything when a baby is coming. Guy and I talk about having a baby one day. Not yet. Don't get weird on me. It's like one day. But one day in the next couple of years, we hope, maybe, if God does that for us. And just the thought of it, being way out there somewhere in the future, just the thought of it keeps me thinking all the time. I find myself looking around the parsonage and then thinking things like, those rails on the balcony, are those safe for a baby? No, I'm going to need to rethink that. And then the stairs from the door to the living room, I have to think about that. My Monday Sabbaths, I love sleeping in and spending that time in Scripture and going on a nice, peaceful hike. How's that going to work? The baby interrupting my prayer time. Hikes and bike rides. Am I ready to change these things I love for a little one to intrude into my world? The joys, the sacrifices, the adjustments to our home and our schedules and what we want to spend on ourselves and what we want to save. The thoughts are always there, and the baby is not even coming yet. But I already have the sense that when he or she is, I'm going to have to rethink everything. Can't help but start that now. That's the thing. You see, when someone else's baby is coming, your little world goes on more or less uninterrupted, right? I mean, run to Target, buy a onesie, congratulations card, hold the baby maybe for a few minutes when you see him at church, but then give him back. Go about your way. You don't go changing your house and your routine and your bank account and your priorities because someone else's baby is coming. You just say congratulations, and you live your life as usual. But when that baby is coming into your world, into your home, you can't possibly just ignore what's happening and just live in denial those 9 months. And you don't possibly downplay it, saying things like, it's no big deal. Babies show up every day. I'm just going to keep on doing the things that I've always done. I mean, some people do that, but they're usually not very good parents. Good parents, the second they hear that the baby is coming, they just can't help it. They start to rethink everything in light of this news. Everything is on the table. Nothing has to stay if it's going to hurt the baby. Nothing is out of question if it'll help give that baby a good home in this world. When a baby is coming, it is time to rethink everything. My friends, there was a real day in history, a real day, some 2,000 years ago, in a real home in this town called Nazareth. This real girl, a young girl, maybe 14 or so, doing what teenage girls do. I don't know, brushing her hair, hoping she was beautiful enough, doodling Mary plus Joseph forever. Dreaming about where her life would take her and what she'd do and what she'd see one day. I wonder what Mary wanted her life to be. I wonder what kind of family she dreamed of having. I wonder how she dreamed of spending her days. When she was 14 and she was thinking about the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 20 years, I wonder what went through her mind. Are there any 13 to 16-year-olds in here this morning? They'd not dare raise their hands because they're 13 to 16. I know we got a few. They're like, I'm here. We know who you are. You're already thinking about how you want your life to go, aren't you? You've already got some dreams, a few dreams, right? Maybe at least graduate high school. It's a good way to start. I tell you, Mary had them too. For sure, Mary dreamed about this future that she wanted for herself too. But as she's doing whatever 14-year-old girls do, an angel shows up in her room. Greetings. The Lord is with you. A baby is coming. In fact, he's already on the way. And he will be king like David, but more so and forever. And Mary, God is doing this, and you are the chosen one to give him a home right here with you. Mary, time to stop and rethink everything, because a baby is coming. Can you imagine? Just like that, in an instant, all those dreams of might what be one day are gone. The dream now is what is happening right here this day. All those wonderings about what kind of family she might have one day, they're done. It's been told she's going to be the mom of a new king. This was the family chosen for her. How does a simple girl from Nazareth even begin to get her mind around that? And her fiancé, Joseph, time to get a move on with that relationship. A baby is coming. He's going to have to either leave her or rush the wedding along. Either way, these are big decisions to be made, and they got to be made now. Her life will no longer be about her dreams, or her plans, or her will, or her way. But it's all going to be about this baby that's coming. About his dreams, about his plans, about his will, about his way. From this moment on, Mary will spend her entire life making a way for this baby to have his perfect way. A baby was coming into Mary's heart. A baby was coming into Mary's home, and now was the time for her to rethink everything. My friends, here's the deal about this baby. He didn't just come to Mary's house. We can't just send a congrats and a onesie and call it good. John 1 says this baby, this word, this Christ, took on flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood, our hearts, our homes. This baby that demanded a total life shift from Mary demands the exact same thing from us. This baby that caused his mom and dad to rethink everything about who they were and what their lives would be about, how they were going to spend their time and their energy and their money and their efforts until it was all centered on him, finding his home with them. This same baby, this same Christ has moved into our lives and calls us to do the very same. He calls us to rethink everything until all of us is centered on him, finding his home in our hearts and in our homes. My friends, a baby is coming to all of us. It's time to rethink everything. Our jobs, is there room for him in them? Our bank accounts, does his coming put a dent in that? Because babies do that. Our priorities, lots is going to need to move around to make him first in our lives. Our passions, will they be centered on him? Our time, he's going to want to be with us everywhere, always. Are we up for that? This Advent, let us not go about life as usual. Just watching from afar as Mary and Joseph see their little worlds turned upside down to welcome this baby king home. This Advent, let us not fill every waking moment with what every other person living outside the story of the baby coming is doing. Working, shopping, partying, Netflix binging, rat racing, whatever it is. But instead, this Advent, might we dare to live as those who are inside the story, because we are. Might we live as those to whom the baby is coming, because he is. Let us take the time, if that is true, and I believe with all my heart that is true, let us take the time to slow down and ponder what it means and reflect on all the pieces of our lives. With the Spirit's help, searching our hearts and our homes, being willing to rethink everything, everything, in light of the baby that's coming. Will he find good, loving, adoring, baby Christ-centered homes among us? A baby is coming to us, to our hearts, to our homes. That can only mean one thing. It is time to rethink everything, starting now, because a baby is coming. And he's coming to us. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, might you find us like Mary. At word of the news that you're coming, could we respond as she responded? Here we are, servants, lovers of the Lord. Let it be to us as you want, O God. May our lives be a good home for you, Jesus. May the way that we move and breathe be the place where you would want to dwell. May the things that we do look like a people totally centered around this King who has come and is coming again. Help me, help us rethink everything until our hearts are the most suitable home for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.